Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Makers and Mystics podcast. I'm Stephen Roach, and in today's episode, I'm going to give you some of my final thoughts on our season 14 subject of reclaiming wonder. There's a hawk I would often see perched on the telephone wire in the neighborhood where we lived. Each day as I would leave on some now forgotten errand, the hawk waited for me. He became a regular fixture in my days, so much so that eventually my son Brighton gave him a name, Malachi. I didn't ask why he chose this name, but I began to greet the hawk each morning with his new title. Malachi gazed over the landscape, scanning for a mouse or some small moving creature to become his sustenance. His posture was regal. He took the form of a watchman. Malachi became a prophetic symbol for me. I looked for him each day, and when he wasn't there, I grew unsettled. His presence there on the wire grounded me and gave me a sense of participating in something larger than my everyday life. One morning at the breakfast table, my daughter Belle looked out the French door to our back deck. Her eyes grew wide and she gasped. I turned to see the hawk sitting on our rail, only a few feet away from us. My breath was taken with hers. Malachi was much larger than I had thought, seeing him so high up on the wire. But here, he was all the more majestic. His wings were large and his gaze unafraid. And for a brief moment, our eyes connected before he flew away. Several months later, we put our house up for sale, and it occurred to me that my friendship with Malachi would end. I was thrilled about the new season opening up in our lives. We had waited many years for this opportunity to move to a new location. At one time, our small home served us well, but as our toddlers grew into teenagers, the walls seemed to shrink around us like shirts that no longer fit. We were each eager to have our own space. As I packed our belongings and prepared for the move, I found myself secretly sad to say goodbye to the hawk. But then, the first day I sat at my writing desk in the new home, a flash of golden brown swooped past the window and startled me from a daydream. I stood up from my desk chair and I said, "Are you kidding me?" A beautiful hawk had landed on our fence. I laughed out loud and grabbed my phone to snap a picture of it. Of course, it's doubtful that this was Malachi, but I like to think that it was. The bird had found his way to our new location and continued to serve as a faithful watchman over our lives. In this age of hyperrealism and scientific demystification, this kind of talk may sound strange to you or even far-fetched, and I get it. A hawk we named and took as a divine symbol. The hawk only means what meaning we ascribe to it. But that's just it. We participate in the unfolding of wonder and beauty and meaning in our lives, or we participate in its loss. When we forget this, we lose all sense of hope and relinquish our lives to little more than survival. It is the meaning we give to things, or rather, the meaning we discover within things that make the world come alive. Otherwise, we're only left with facts and cold materialism. I grew curious about the name Malachi, which my son gave to the hawk, and so I looked up its etymology. Malachi means messenger of God. And so if Malachi is a messenger of God, I thought, what then is the message the hawk is to bring? The book of Job tells us to ask the beasts and they will teach you, and the birds of the air and they will tell you, or speak to the earth and it will teach you, and the fish of the sea will explain to you. But as Cheryl Bridges Johns alluded to in our episode on the contours of enchantment, we live with a nature deficit disorder. We're disconnected from the natural world, and so it may not be as easy for us to ask the beasts for them to teach us, or the birds of the air for them to tell us, unless we learn to cultivate wonder. Cultivating wonder means learning to attune our hearts to recognize the messengers of God when they come to us clothed in animal skins, feathers, or unexpected places. It means seeing the spiritual in filling the material. And it requires slowing down to notice the small peripheral things, to notice the still small voice that speaks through all of creation. It is true we cannot control inspiration or wonder or when the hawk will land on our fence posts, no more than we can control the course of wind and water. The wind blows where it wishes, Jesus tells us. We don't know where it comes from or where it goes, but we can posture our hearts to notice wonder when it arrives. We can discipline ourselves to look for it in every situation, even in the darker emotions and moments of life. Wonder is not afraid to abide in the low places or to show up unannounced in all the wrong places. Each of us experience some measure of suffering, as well as each of us are endowed with beauty. The creative process is taking the suffering we face, and rather than blaming God or other people or building an anti-theology of suffering, we find meaning within our pain and learn to transform it into wonder. This is the gift of the artist. This is the alchemy of the artist. We melt down meaninglessness into meaning. We turn tragedy into poetry. We heal heartbreak into song and dance in our pain until suffering becomes joy. We leverage those dark materials of our histories and our painful experiences until new stars burst from the blackness, forming constellations across our canvases of grief. The challenge is not allowing our disappointments to build the framework of our lives. Disappointments are inevitable, but they do not have to dictate our relationship with life. When we are overcome by chronic disappointments, it can lead to mental fatigue, a loss of creative vision, and eventually despair. When wonder is lost, it gives way to depravity, a pursuit of false stimulations to fill the void left behind, an attempt to substitute what is missing. And here, art and spiritual practice are vital to our mental health. Through art, we confront despair, not with escapism, but with transformation. Art awakens the imagination to new possibilities and provides a creative outlet for expressing our grief, disappointment, or longings, all the while cultivating hope and renewal. Our spiritual practices root us in a soil deeper than circumstance. These are necessary to help sustain us through moments when we can't access the significance of the hawk and when wonder is swallowed up by drudgery. This season of the podcast, we hosted over 22 episodes along with several patron-only interviews on this topic of reclaiming wonder. Beginning with my interview with musician and scholar Donna Matthews about cultivating the flow state, and extending to our recent conversation with the brilliant storyteller Martin Shaw, we've come at this subject from a variety of perspectives. But now here is the challenge for us today. We have to take what we've learned from these brilliant artists and thinkers and begin to implement these truths into our own lives. I want to encourage you to take a look at your current life and ask, where are the places you have lost a sense of wonder, and begin to consider how you can reclaim wonder. Now, this doesn't necessarily mean quit your job and go live in the forest, although maybe that's not a bad idea. But I think more so it means we ask, how can we polish our eyes to see afresh? How can we reclaim the wonder of our own experience? Where has the malaise of the everyday or the pain of loss and grief clouded us from seeing the beauty within and around us? Let the pain and the boredom and the loss heal into works of art. As we close up this season, I want to ask one last important question. What is it we experience when we experience wonder? And why is this important? I've said on several other podcasts that we need wonder like we need water. I've said that we are designed to experience wonder. But why are we designed this way? What is it that wonder accomplishes in our lives? Is it simply about the experience itself? Or does the experience also lead us to something deeper? I want to suggest, and I say this to both our believing listeners and to those who may not consider themselves a person of faith, wonder is the residue of God, left like a shimmering dew on creation. Encounters with wonder are meant to awaken our hunger for the sublime, and they are meant to instill in us a desire for personal transformation. Just like the author Elaine Scarry says in her book, On Beauty and Being Just, she says that beauty incites us to respond. Beauty incites us to imitate the beautiful. When we see a beautiful mountain, we're inclined to take a photograph of it. We're inclined to paint it or to draw it or to tell our friends about it. When we encounter wonder, it moves us to act. And so on many levels, we unconsciously desire to become what we behold. We're not made only to behold wonder, but to become wonder. According to the psalmist, human beings are such wondrous creatures that even angels are struck with awe in beholding who God has fashioned us to be. Are we even slightly aware of the magnitude of what this means? That we are made in such a way that even the angels are astonished at who we are? We are made for much more than Monday mornings. We are made for much more than medicating our disappointments through numbness or personal pleasure. When we capture this vision for our lives and let it take root deep down in the soil of our being, we will no longer be tempted to settle for second best. As C.S. Lewis observed, we are fooling around with drink and sex and ambition when infinite joy is offered us, like an ignorant child who wants to go on making mud pies in a slum because he cannot imagine what is meant by the offer of a holiday at sea. We are far too easily pleased. So as we go from this season into the next, I want to invite you to begin exploring ways to reclaim the wonder in your life, and even more so, I want to encourage you to reconnect with wonder himself. You may be surprised at how the most ordinary day will reveal its secret glow to the attentive heart. Thank you for listening, everyone. This concludes our season on Reclaiming Wonder. Over the next few months on the podcast, I'll be introducing you to some of the presenters and performers who will be joining us March 21st for the Breath in the Clay event. And I do hope that you will join us there as well. You can find out more information about this event at thebreathintheclay.com and in the show notes of this episode. And to our patrons, we'll continue with our regular online artist check-ins, and I'll be posting some additional interviews on Patreon for you as well. As always, everyone, keep creating. The world needs your art.